Denver on March 15th, when LGBTQ, the GLBT Center of Colorado will host Jokers, Jewels, and Justice. For more information, go to glbtcolorado.org. That's our show for this evening. Thanks so much for joining us. Please join us again here on KGNU Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins, or listen anytime at kgnu.org/outsources. Thanks for being here. See you again next week.
And the tale of Sweeney Todd. His skin was pale and his eye was odd. He shaved the faces of gentlemen who never thereafter were heard of again. He trod a path that few have trod, did Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. He kept a shop in London town, of fancy clients and good renown. And what if none of their souls were saved? They went to their maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
but there's no place like London. I feel home again. I could hear the city bells ring, whatever I would do. No, there's no place like London. Mr. Todd, you are young. Life has been kind to you. You will learn. So, Anthony, it is here we go our several ways. Farewell. I shall not soon forget the good ship Bountiful, nor the young man who saved my life.
Wouldn't you like to push me crumpet? It looks to me, dear, like you got plenty there to push.
Must you glare at me, woman? Off with you, off, I say!
Then how would you like to fish me, squiff? Mister, we'll go jig, jiggle!
Off, I said! To the devil with you!
Pardon me, sir, but there's no need to fear the likes of her. She was only a half-crazed beggar woman. London's full of them.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it, and its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of London. At the top of the hole sit the privileged few, making mock of the vermin in the lower zoo, turning beauty into filth and greed. I, too, have sailed the world and seen its wonders, for the cruelty of men is as wondrous as Peru, but there's no place like London. There was a barber and his wife, and she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife, she was his reason and his life, and she was beautiful, and she was virtuous, and he was naive. There was another man who saw that she was beautiful, a pious vulture of the law, who with a gesture of his claw remove the barber from his plate. Then there was nothing but to wait, and she would fall, so soft, so young, so lost, and oh, so beautiful.
The lady, sir, did she succumb?
Oh, that was many years ago. I doubt
if anyone would know.
Now leave me, Antony. I beg of you. There's somewhere I must go. Something I must find out now and alone.
So long, then, Mr. Todd.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and it's filled with people who are filled with shit. The world inhabit it.
For weeks, did you come in for a pie, sir? Do forgive me if me head's a little fake. Ugh, what is that? But you think we are the plague? From the way that people keep avoiding, no, you don't. Heaven knows I try, sir. Ugh, but there's no one comes in even to inhale. Right you are, sir, would you like a drop of ale? Mind you, I can't hardly blame them. These are probably the worst pies in London. I know why nobody cares to take them. I should know. And that's polite, the worst pies in London. If you doubt it, take a bite. Is that just disgusting? You have to concede it. It's nothing but grasping. You drink this, you'll need it. The worst pies in London. And no wonder with the price of meat what it is. When you get it, never thought I'd live to see the day. Men are think it was a treat, finding poor animals what are dying in the street. Mrs. Mooney has a pie shop, does a business, but I've noticed something weird. Lately all the neighbours' cats have disappeared. Have to hand it to her, what I call enterprise. Popping pussies into pies, wouldn't do in my shop. Just the thought of it's enough to make you sick. And I'm telling you, the pussycats is quick. Now denying times is hard, sir. Even harder than the worst pies in London. Only lard and nothing more. Is that just revolting? All greasy and gritty. It looks like it's melting and tastes like, well, pity a woman alone. And the worst pies in London. Ah, sir, times is hard. Times is hard.
Isn't that a room up there over the pie shop? If times are so hard, why don't you rent it out? That should bring in something.
Up there? Oh, no one'll go near it. People think it's haunted. You see, years ago, something happened up there. Something not very nice. There was a barber and his wife, and he was beautiful. A proper artist with a knife, but they transported him for life, and he was beautiful. His name was Benjamin Barker.
Transported? What was his crime?
Foolishness. He had this wife, you see. Pretty little thing, silly little nit. Had a chance for the moon on a string. Poor thing. Wanted to like mad, one of them a judge, t'other one his beadle. Every day they'd nudge and they'd wheedle, but she wouldn't budge from her needle. Too bad, pure thing.
nearly shipped the poor blighter off, and they did, leaving her with nothing but grief and a year-old kid. Did she use a head even then? Oh, no, God forbid. Poor fool. Ah, but there was worse yet to come. Poor thing. Joanna. That was the child's name. Pretty little Joanna.
Go on.
My, you do like a good story, don't you? Well, Beadle calls on her all polite. Poor thing, poor thing. The judge, he tells her he's all contrite. He blames himself for a dreadful plight. She must come straight to his house tonight. Poor thing, poor thing. Goes there, poor thing, they're having this ball all in masks. There's no one she knows there, poor dear, poor thing. She wanders tormented and drinks, poor thing. The judge has repented, she thinks, poor thing. Oh, where is Judge Turpin, she asks. He was there all right, only not so contrite. Wasn't no match for such craft, you see, and everyone thought it so droll. They figured she had to be daft, you see, so all of them stood there and laughed, you see. Poor soul, poor thing.
No! Would no one have mercy on her?
So it is you, Benjamin Barker. My, them handles is chased silver, ain't they?
Silver, yes. These are my friends. See how they glisten. This one shine, how he smiles in the light. My friend, my faithful friend. Speak to me, friend. Whisper, I'll listen. I know you've been locked out of sight all these years. Like me, my friend. Well, I've come home to find you waiting. Home, and we're together, and we'll do wonders. Won't we? You there, my friend.
I'm your friend.
Come,
too,
let
Mr.
me
Todd.
Hold you.
If you only knew,
now,
Mr. Todd.
With
the
sun,
Mr. Todd,
you grow
you're
warm in my hand, my friend.
You come home,
my clever friend.
I always had a fondness for you, I did.
Rest now, my friend.
Never you fear,
soon
Mr.
I'll
Todd.
Unfold.
You can move in here, Mr. Todd.
Splendors
you never have dreamed all your days. We'll be your
my lucky friend.
I'm your friend.
Till now your shine was merely silver.
Silver's good enough for
friends.
Me, Mr.
You shall drip rubies. You'll soon drip precious. At last, my arm is complete again.
Lift your razor high, speeding, hear it singing, yes. Sink it in, but
seen how civilized men behave. He never forgot and he never forgave.
Mazzini! Mazzini Todd!
The demon barber of Fleet Street.
Well, you may wonder why our Opera Box show begins with Sweeney Todd, a musical by Stephen Sondheim, and that's because, as you can hear, it's very operatic. And by the way, it even goes all the way back to the ancient Dies Irae from the Gregorian chants of about 600 AD or so. The da 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 da. That goes to the from the Requiem, or the Day of Wrath and Doom Descending. And the first setting of that we know of back in 600 AD finds its way into that musical. And as I said, it's very operatic, and opera companies do it all the time. I think Central City did it not too long ago. And CU Presents is going to be doing it with their opera people, and that's going to be on March 16th through the 18th. CU Boulder, so check that out. I'm Chris Moore. I'll be your host for the next almost 40 minutes or so for Opera Box, and then after that, we're going to have a very special program, a classic Monday. We'll begin with a few previews of some of the things happening, like the ballet, the Colorado Ballet with Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev, and we'll hear some of that music. But then we're going to be premiering something here that's quite exciting. Bill Hill, the composer who you also oftentimes see as the timpanist with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, has composed a piece called The Raven, and Bill Hill will be here at 9 o'clock this evening, so do stay tuned for that. And then after that, Ray comes in to do Present Edge. Hope you're surviving the weather well. I'm actually in Denver now instead of Boulder because it's closer to my home, so enjoying the smaller studio here at the Denver studio of KGNU. We're going to hear some operatic music now, actually operetta-attic music, I guess you might say. This operetta is a very, very beloved one, The Merry Widow, and it's going to be performed at the Loveland Opera Theater. Yes, this widow is having a grand old time with huge amounts of money. So much money, in fact, that if she were to ever move away from her home country, that country would go bankrupt. And the only hope is this drunk, who she actually doesn't like very much at all, and then, of course, ends up falling in love with, thereby having a happy ending with a marriage and the saving of her home country. Let's listen to some of that music right now from The Merry Widow. This will be coming up much sooner, actually, February 23rd through March 4th with the London Opera Theater. A few excerpts now from a really wonderful operetta to brighten up your evening.
Whenever I hear that song, I'm carried back to that summer evening of Madame Clavary's party. We all wore national costume, the better to dance the dances and sing the songs of old Pontevedra, passed down the centuries to the verge of being mowed down by the Cancan girls, hooping it up in the Clavary garden before the night was out. The costumes, by the way, can be seen in the Museum of Pontevedrian Folk Art, formerly the royal palace of the Grand Dukes of Pontevedra. And believe me, there's nothing in the opera houses to touch them for true Pontevedrian vulgarity. Now, where were we? The Merry Widow still unclaimed, the reluctant Count Dalinovich nowhere to be seen, Cascadan San Brioche closing in once more, the ambassador frantic, the bank tottering, and the Grand Duke sending desperate telegrams from what was about to become the Museum of Pontevedrian Folk Art. And what of the central figure of this drama? Well, I was thinking furiously. My chief Baron Zita had come to the opinion that the foreigner who was the greatest threat was none other than Camille de Roussillon. Naturally, I was able to reassure him that, on the contrary, Camille de Roussillon was in love with a married woman. And right on cue, his wife Valenciennes and Camille de Roussillon made their seventh entrance together in 24 hours. I didn't turn a hair. I knew that the native intelligence which had got Baron Zita to the top of the diplomatic tree would not let me down. I was right. He ordered his wife to stick close to Camille de Roussillon, to play up to him, to never let him out of her sight until she'd got from him the name of the married woman with whom he was in love. And now, with the arrival of Count Danilo, I felt really that I had the situation under control. For seeking out a quiet corner of the garden, Danilo found that Madame Clavary had had the same idea, quite like old times down on the farm. Farmyard memories, you see. Or perhaps I mean a pastoral idyll.
Kluge Reiter, reitet, reitet.
Now, you remember the fan? The fan which belonged to Valenciennes, on which Camille had written, I love you, and which Valenciennes had lost and Gromov had found. It was now in the possession of Baron Zita. He still had it with him, different party, different place, different costume, but Baron Zita and the fan were not to be parted. He'd kept it about his person in order to return it discreetly to its owner, whoever she may be. Even when Count Danilo recognized the handwriting on the fan as that of Camille de Rossillon, Baron Zita's mind remained a delightful blank. In this vacant state, it, his mind, was suddenly seized with a plan breathtaking in its audacity, subtlety, and all-round irrelevance. The plan was to discover the owner of the fan, reveal this affair to the husband, and after a quick divorce, the shameless harpy could marry Camille before he had a chance to marry the rich widow. Yes, it's amazing what you can get away with if you put enough music around it. But take my word for it, I was there. So once more I took center stage. It was only the work of a moment to dangle the fan and a couple of trick questions in front of the three wives and to establish that Madame Kromov was carrying on with Saint-Brioche. Madame Bogdanovich was carrying on with Cascadar. And Madame Brigitte's was the Paris Open. After which, it was only the work of another moment to send Saint-Brioche and Cascadar packing once and for all, as soon as they understood that Pontevedrian husbands didn't believe in divorce. They believed in swords, pistols, and paid assassins. In Pontevedro, we call this the management of women.
Die Weiber,
die Weiber,
man behandelt
dich an.
Eine so, die andere anders, da gibt's keinen Fälschungsplan. Die Weiber,
dass die Weiber
vor uns bleiben,
also wie,
das hat man noch nicht ergrünen,
da gibt's keine Theorie.
Der eine macht man Komplimente,
so und so und so und so,
und Schmeiß und Streich und ohne Ende,
so und so und so und so.
Der andere muss man imponieren,
so und so und so und so.
Ja, sie auch sogar, sie gehen,
so und so und so und so.
Die dritte, die will Zärtlichkeit,
so und so und so und so.
Die vierte, die will Zank und Streit,
so und so und so und so.
Die fünfte will nur tanzen, lachen,
so und so und so und so.
Niemals kennt noch der Seele und Leid. An das Weib, 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 Weib.
Paris were only good for two things, and the other one was discovering radium.
Mein Freund, Vernunft!
Wie Sie mich quälen!
Ich will, Sie müssen sich vermählen! Sie müssen heute noch mit
Nun gut, ich tu's, doch wird das Herz mir brechen.
Oh, glauben Sie, es fehlt mir schwer, auf Ihre Liebe zu verzichten. Doch muss ich doch, so will es die der guten Sitte richten.
Muss ich für immer
darf ich nicht.
So ist es recht, so hab ich dich lieb.
Ich muss dich küssen.
Sie machen mich müde.
Glück gekommen.
Well, briefly, Valenciennes and Camille entered the summer house by the front door, as I exited by the back. This is an unexpected maneuver on their part because they were actually saying goodbye to each other. Very touching it was.
Fahr ich denn mit? Ich sage genau. Hanne und Camille, mein ganzer Geist ist still. Jetzt wird die Sache etwas flau.
Wo ist denn meine Frau?
Du wünschest.
Ich bin stumm und starr.
Was ist geschehen? Du sprichst doch klar.
Hanne und Camille, so sei doch endlich still.
Sei doch eine Dame, komm zu Ohr. Ich gucke schwer durchs Schlüsselloch.
Das war gerade nicht sehr fein.
Ich habe praktisch deinen Ohren nicht, wie dieser Herr da, ihr lieber Schwor.
Die Dame, die war ich.
Aha, geschworen ist mir meine Frau.
Mein lieber Camille, stehen Sie nur auf.
Ich mach Sie sagen, was trennt mich ein?
Und war der Baron so indiskret zu lauschen und spähen mein Schlüsselloch? So sagen Sie hin, was drinnen Sie mir gestanden. Ich bitte, so sagen Sie's doch.
Ich soll es sagen.
Und ich soll's ertragen.
Nun, Exzellenz, da ich nicht anders kann, was ich drin sagte, so hören Sie an.
Wie eine Rosenknospe im Mai. In meinem Herzen die Liebe aufgeglüht. Das war ein selig Keimen, von dem ich nichts geahnt. Ein wundersames Träumen, das mich ans Glück und nun das Glück gekommen,
es ist es
wieder fort. Nicht ein Wein liegt verglossen,
die Klosser
sicher dort. Ein Jahr.
Once again, the Loveland Opera Theater is putting on The Merry Widow, and that's going to be actually coming right up February 23rd through March 4th. So if you want to see that, check out the Loveland Opera Theater website, and they'll tell you all about it there. This is a performance that we heard, kind of a live and wonderful classic performance. I think it goes back to about the 1980s or so. Hanna Glowary, Graf Danilo Danilowicz, Felicity Lott, Thomas Hampson, Esbieta Zimtka, John Ayler, Kurt Eisenberger, Robert Poulton, and others, with the London Philharmonic Orchestra and the Glyndebourne Chorus, Franz Welser Most conducting. It's now about 1.5 minutes before 8 o'clock. A few things I'd like to mention, well, actually just one thing, besides what I've already talked about. Well, I'll review those again before I played some excerpts of Sweeney Todd, because CU Presents is putting it on. That's March 16th through the 18th. And, of course, as I said, February 23rd through March 4th, the Loveland Opera Theater, The Merry Widow, which we just heard some excerpts from as well. Now, Annie is playing. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it very much at the Boulder BDT stage, where it used to be Boulder's Dinner Theater. And that runs only through February 24th, and then they move on to their next series of shows, so you don't want to miss that. Always Patsy Cline will be coming up starting on March 3rd. So check out that, and I think you might enjoy what you see. In June, by the way, they're putting on Little Mermaid as well. So that ends our opera program for today, and thank you for listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm Chris Moore, your host. It's about 30 seconds before 8 o'clock right now, and time for us to move into our next classical style show, a classic Monday, classical music in general, which is what we get to play now for the next while. So kick back, relax, and enjoy. We are celebrating Black History Month this month, and I doubt that anybody else is going to play this piece. It's the Symphony No. 1, the Afro-American Symphony. The Detroit Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Neme Yarvi, William Grant Still, who lived from 1895 to 1978, and I believe this was composed in the 1920s, and it honors the Afro-American experience, and it goes way back historically. So let's enjoy that as our celebration of Black History Month here on KGNU.